Are we here because we believe or because we want to believe? Thomas doubts. He says that unless he sees and touches Jesus' wounds, he won't believe. Thomas needs to see for himself. But Thomas missed church that Sunday. Okay, I had to get that in. Thomas missed church the Sunday before, the Sunday when all the other disciples were gathered together and the good stuff happened. When Jesus showed up and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, Thomas missed it. And for that, Thomas gets a bad rap and a terrible nickname. Did you change nicknames? Was anybody doubting anything? Doubting Thomas, but he hasn't always been. When we first hear from Thomas in John 11:16, he is loyal Thomas. Lazarus has died. The apostles don't want to go back to Judea because in Judea they had tried to stone Jesus. But Thomas says, loyal Thomas says, let's go too, that we may die with him. Let's go too. And in John 14:5, we hear literal Thomas. Jesus has just explained that he is going away to prepare a heavenly home for his followers who will one day join him there. They know the way. And Thomas goes, yo, Jesus, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Literal Thomas. Now in John 20, Thomas says, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. Rational. Rational, Thomas. It's a pretty rational question. And rational Thomas gets what he asks for. The next week, Thomas is with the others, and Jesus appears and invites Thomas to do just what he said, to reach out and put his hand in Jesus' wounded side so that he might believe. Here is a painting by Caravaggio of what that might have looked like. And do you see Thomas's face? I don't know if you can see it, but Thomas is looking a little surprised and not really too happy. So maybe this painting should really be called Be Careful What You Ask For. Be careful what you ask for. In part because the Bible never says that Thomas actually touches Jesus. But look at those other apostles. I mean, they are crawling up his back. They are all over this. They're pretty intense for guys who've been talking a really good game about their own faith, aren't they? They want to see it too. Because doubting Thomas is not alone. Do you remember in Luke's gospel just last week, just at Easter? None of them believed. None. The women run to tell the disciples what they have seen in the empty tomb, and the disciples all go, it's an idle tale. They dismiss it as an idle tale. Finally, Peter goes to look. None believed. And do you know who said this? It is astonishing that I should believe him to be the Son of God, who is suspended on the cross, whom I have never seen, with whom I have never become acquainted. Do you know who said that? Yeah. Doubting Luther. Old doubting Martin Luther said that one. And here's the painting again. This time, I want you to look not at Thomas's hand, but at Jesus' hand. Can you see what Jesus is doing? Jesus is holding on to Thomas. He's got a pretty good hold on that wrist, a pretty good grip. He's holding him fast. Maybe Thomas is reconsidering. Anyway, as we said, we don't know for sure that Thomas ever touched the risen Christ, but we do know that his experience of Jesus was very, very real, very real. He sees. He somehow touches and is touched by Christ. Thomas knows so powerfully that he is held fast that he says, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God, one of the most powerful, concise creeds in all of Scripture. So strong, a statement of faith that it becomes a foundation for our doctrine of the Trinity. My Lord and my God. Thomas the doubter is Thomas the believer. Thomas deserves a new nickname. How about Thomas the seeker? One who asks and finds. Because isn't that the pattern of our whole lives with God? Thomas has questions. Most of us do. And it's why when we baptize into a faith community. In a few minutes, Evan and Norway's families will promise to bring Evan and Norway up among God's faithful people, so that with us, they will hear the word, share the supper, and learn to proclaim the good news. With us, they will learn to serve all people and strive for justice and peace. We ask God to help and guide us. We ask everybody to help us and pray for us. Because just like piano or soccer or anything else, Evan and Norway, and we will learn. Learning to see God in this wounded world takes learning, takes practice. Before you know it, Evan and Norway are going to be in confirmation class, and we're going to put in their hands that little book, Luther's Small Catechism, where Luther says, "I believe that I cannot of my own understanding or effort believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me." The Holy Spirit has called me. Are we here because we believe? Are we here because we want to believe? Ask boldly. Luther didn't say that one, but he should have. He should have said that one too. Ask boldly. Like Thomas, just be ready to find your answers in surprising ways. Be ready to find answers in unexpected places. Keep asking. Keep coming back because you don't want to miss the good stuff. And it's not because God isn't everywhere, of course. God is everywhere. But it's because this is where the community of faith gathers. This is where the followers, the body of Christ, come together to learn to become the body of Christ, where we come to worship and to learn to see God in each other and in the world that we go out into. This is where we see and touch and taste that God is good. And in our belief and in our unbelief, God holds us fast. God holds us fast and never lets us go. Amen.